Let's start to the paper. I've got a few minutes also to talk about Kluis a little bit. The subjects are very connected, but so I want to touch on a very important sort of Shavuot. But let's take a few more steps here in the Sefer. Reish Lamed Tes, I believe. Reish Lamed Tes. Okay, so let's just get the foundations in place. Everybody knows that there's a Borei Olam who created the world, was also Esav Yaaseh Kol HaMaasim, and that there's no other way that things could be. Somewhere as a building declares that there was a builder. Sometimes you could even know who the builder was from the style of the building. But if there's a world, then the world declares who the creator was. The more you look at the world, the more you boich, and the more you investigate this world with open eyes, the more you think about the Bria, the more Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself to you. The more you learn Torah, the more you get into Torah, the more you understand Torah, the more you see the Borei Olam in the Torah. Because you see that the author of this wasn't just some clever guy. And the author of the world, he who created an apple seed, if you know how to look at apple seed properly, you see Hashem, Kapshuto. And therefore, the question we have, we also know, by the way, and we've proved that many times from all angles, is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu only does good. The whole reason for creating the world is his desire to bestow good and ultimate good, not kind of good, not 85% good. Hashem wants to give good, oh, he gives everything. So on the one hand, it's all Hashem, and he's only good, and therefore we have this problem. What's with Tzadik Viralo or Rosh HaBatoivlo? That's the basis of that question. Those two pieces don't move. Hashem is control of everything. And number two is Hashem only wants to do good. Those pieces don't move. If you can't change those, we're not reform. They come up with all sorts of different ways of dealing with that, but fiddling with that. We can't fiddle with that because that's partial. That's our basic imunah. So therefore, the question which bothered Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech and called Doiris Gedolim Kadmoinim up to us today is, so what's with the evil going on here? What's going on here? So in the previous chapter, we touched on it a little bit. One aspect we saw of it, and we're trying to get a deeper understanding of this. The last paragraph, David HaMelech Meyached Mizmor Sholem B'Sefer Tehillim L'Shai Lezu. Gamba Makaimus no sefer. No, it's fine. I told him to do that. In Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech, Echad Makaimus Eilu, Ish Bar Leida Uchsil Yoyovi Nezois. A coarse person. And a fool doesn't understand this. What's this? That's what he doesn't understand. When you see evil, the evil people sprouting and growing like wild grass, an entire book in Tanakh, one of the 24 books of Tanakh, is called Sefer Iyov. Well worthwhile spending some time learning Sefer Iyov if this concept of suffering in the world bothers you properly, not theoretically. Iyov is that's the Sefer. And if you learn it properly with Moporshim, the Ramban Bagnosefish Iyov, the Ramban in his Agdoma. So Iyov says, this question is a cornerstone, great cornerstone of Torah. This is not a question that you need a little kuntras or a few lines to discuss. To deal with this question, because it's one of the foundations, it's one of the cornerstones of our lives, of Yiddishkeit, a whole sefer in Tanakh, not a later day Afron. Eov was great beyond godless. This question goes to the roots of creation. To get to the root, like we said, we want to understand this to the best of our ability. We're not gonna get too far, but as far as we're able to go, we need to be able to, at this time, the 3 days before Shavuos, and Shavuos itself is a very good time to learn Torah that you can't normally learn. I'll explain why I said I want to take a few minutes to speak about Shavuos more, because they're very important, the sudden Shavuos that we've been dealing with all along. I mean, you just need to add this extra piece into it. So before we can deal with this, we're going to have to deal with some basic background and get to deal with a lot of other conversations and discussions. And let's assume we'll start that next week. What I want to talk about now is Shavuos. We all know that Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Zman Matan Torah Seinu. We got the Torah on Shavuos. Nachon? Everyone knows that. The problem is we lost that Torah. And we don't have that Torah anymore. We got the Torah on Shavuos. There was a Chet HaEgel, and we lost the Torah. And then we got the Torah back when? On Yom Kippur. But the Torah we got on Yom Kippur is not the same as the Torah we lost on Shavuos. What do I mean? When Klal Yisrael stood at Sinai, they went back to the level of Adam and Eve before the Chet. We have no way of understanding what that looks like, but there was no more death in the world. There was no illness. The Torah was Sholem. Your grasp of Torah was Sholem. Whatever you learned, you remembered. There was no such thing as forgetting, not understanding. You had full grasp on reality. You had Adam and Eve before the Chet. You understood reality. You saw Hashem Kepshuta. We went back to that level. We don't have that Torah today. In case you had a notice, we tend to forget. We tend to have to struggle and toil and omel in our Torah. The Torah we got on Shavuos, we lost. And then we went through the whole Tshuva process, the 40 days, Moshe was there, until finally on Yom Kippur, and we got Luchos Sheinis. What's the nature of that? That's the Torah we grapple with. You learn, you forget, you struggle, you don't understand it. It's bovel, it's mibble-bol, it's confused in our heads. It's a whole different beer. So what are we celebrating on Shavuos? We got the Torah, we lost it, and now we're struggling and battling, and our real isn't that exciting at the moment. That's the fundamental question. What's going on here? Why? I don't know, because that's what Hashem decided. Because there's now a thing called Luchos Sheni. Luchos Sheni has its nature, and Luchos Rishon has its nature. Why? I don't know. That's Hashem decided. You ever learn Torah? I mean, what's the source for that? I can bring you 50 sources for that. Let me just get the story across. That we know, that we all know. Yeah, we've learned this, we've seen it. We know that Luchos Sheni is not the same as Luchos Rishon. Even in the Pesukim, it's not written the same. There's the commandments that Luchos Rishon, the second set of it, it's not like. First of all, Hashem created Luchos Rishon. The second one, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you carve out the Luchos. No, that's the whole Bria. You're missing a lot of background here. Slowly, you spend another 2 years, and we'll go through the cycle again. We'll get all the Yisodas you need. Slowly. But it's like that, trust me. If you think the Torah you have is Shalom, and you understand everything, and when you learn something, you never forget it, that's just the nature. That's Chazal tells us was the nature of Luchos Rishon. What you learned, you never forgot. You had total tvisa on kula Torah kula. And you don't have that today, so you understand that something missing from the Torah. No one has that today. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. We're in a different world. Anyway, that's poshut. No, nothing. And on the Ladabir. If you don't want to trust me, don't. Go do your homework. Go learn the Midrash. Go learn the Sukkahs that deal with the subject. But that's clear. Gemara's discuss it. Okay. So what are we doing on Shavuos? What's the big deal? Phone your wife and tell her to cancel the cheesecake order. What's the cheesecake on Shavuos? Nothing happened. We got the Torah and we lost it. We should eat cheesecake on Yom Kippur. Because that's when we got the Torah. I don't know why we eat cheesecake. Well, anyway, Zeh ha-sipu. Okay, so here lies a moidiki yusot. Here lies an incredible yusot, which is worthwhile knowing, because if you don't know this, you're missing, not just on Shuas, you're missing the whole sugya of what real is. We've spoken a lot here about real, ideal process, Rachon. And we focus a lot on real. What is the real, really? What is our real, really? And we'll see there's two reals. Let's try to understand this. There's a yusot in ruchnius, in spirituality, and with no exceptions, that whatever a person attains in ruchnius, even if you lose it afterwards, the impression of that stays there. That impression never goes away. Always there. Always there. Luchos Rishon, where are they? That we know in a Kodesh. Not to break the luchos and, you know, someone came along and sweep them up and put them in the path. They did. They're in the Aron HaKodesh with Luchos Sheni. When a person achieves something, give an example, Yom Kippur. A person has a Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. It's a spiritual moment. We know how we feel on Yom Kippur. It's wonderful. And we know how we feel the day after. We crash, we lose it, it's gone. It hasn't gone. What you attained on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Leila Seder, whatever it is, what you achieve, that level, that spiritual, it's there. The impression never goes away. It leaves a mark. And it's there. And then you flip back into our world and we carry on doing what we're doing. Yeah? A baby, when it's in its mother's womb, learns the entire Torah. We all know that. And then when it's born, it forgets it. So why teach it if it's going to forget? Because it hasn't forgotten. It hasn't forgotten. Everything it learns is still there. And if he'll use his life properly, he'll waste his life on stupidities. He will get back that Torah that he learned in his mother's womb, but had he not got it first and forgotten that he could never have got it. That's how Hashem created the world. That's how Hashem created the world. He first came into the world and then pulled himself out again. Everything in the Bria always works like that. The first is the ideal, goes away, and then it comes back again. Always, I told you, it's everything.
You can't get three, never mind, you can't even have two without one.
You need first three, then it gets taken away, and then you work from one. You first get the ideal, you get shown the ideal, it gets taken away, and then you rebuild it. But you have to have it shown to you first. It has to first happen and then go away.
No second stage without stage.
Correct. And you can't get back to it if you don't have that first impression. That's why Hashem created the world. Everywhere. It's everywhere. I told you, you won't see it not working anywhere. It works everywhere, no exceptions. This is the rule in Ruchnius. There has to be engagements as well, but in Ruchnius, the level that you had that got taken away is there still in impression. So now, yeah. What?
Then I want to say that it could have never been any different. Rishon and Shani, there was no other way it could have worked. We had to use the first
class. That's another discussion. It's an interesting discussion. Yeah, we can go into that sometime. That's the sugya of the Bidiyevit being Lechatchila. That's the sugya of Bidiyevit Lechatchila. We know that we had a situation where the fruit of the tree tasted the same. Then Hashem got very upset with the earth because it didn't produce trees anymore where the tree and the fruit tasted the same. And eventually, when Mashiach comes, we'll get back to the tree and the fruit staying the same. We know that the moon and the sun were the same size. We spoke about that one, the Harris Pond. And then the moon got shrunk. When Mashiach comes, the moon will be, we govern for that once a month, to finish the Shavana. We govern that Hashem will fix up the pagam of the moon. Because it worries us a lot. We spoke about that, I think, on the breakfast, I spoke about. Remember? So that's the same thing. The moon being small is the B'di'evah, but it's L'chatchila, because you have to go through that phase. Okay, that's the whole sugya. That's the whole sugya we're talking about. I said, I want to discuss the real aspect. Mazi are real. You see, I'm new insight into it now. This is how it's from Rav Pinkus. Azoy. So there are a few pieces here. I can't go through them all now. When we got to that level, that unbelievable level that we got to on Har Sinai, and then afterwards we lost it, that impression never got taken away. That impression is still there. What happened on Shavuos is still there lurking in the background, so to speak. But if that's the correct way of expressing it, well, it's there. We don't live in Shavuos, we live in Yom Kippur. Our day-to-day existence is a Torah and an existence, which is a Yom Kippur existence. It's Adam Rishon. After the Chet, after this Tshuva. Adam Rishon, after the Chet, when you've done Tshuva. That's Yom Kippur. Purim, by the way, is higher than that. Purim, we go back to Adam Rishon before the Chet. So there was another Kabbalist Torah. That we'll see, when we get to Purim, we'll see this fixing very nicely in Purim. Well, we want to first understand what we're doing tomorrow night, the next day. So that Shavuos, what we had on Shavuos, is still there. And as you go through your life, you'll see flashes of Shavuos Dikat Torah coming through to your life. The fact that every one of you are sitting here now is because at some point you made a decision, which very few people made, by the way. Look around. Look around. How many people made the decision you made that brought you to where you are now? You got to a crossroads in your life. We got to crossroads in our lives. Made a decision that led you and other people had the same decision. And they landed up somewhere else. Don't know what happened to them. That decision you made and you chose greatness was a flash of Shavuos shining through. You couldn't have done that had you not had the impression there before. That level we achieved is in us, and that's our real. But we live not in that real. We live in real. But in the real, you'll have flashes of the real. And you have to be aware of those moments. You have to know how to utilize them. And what gives those flashes during the year is what you do on Shavuos. The same way that on Pesach, Leila Seder, you're not remembering what happened 3,500 years ago. You're reliving those moments of Imuna. You're eating Imuna, basically. That's what Pinchas used to say. You eat matzah, you're eating Imuna. You're putting Imuna into yourself, and that Imuna is what gets you through the whole year. On Shavuos, what you're doing is you're reconnecting to Luchos Rishon. Now, it's not going to stay. It's not going to stay. But the impression will remain, and during the year, you'll have flashes of those moments. You'll be the dugma. These are just little dugmas. And I'll tell you a maisa about it. Some Vedic maisa. Just remembered it today. It's amazing. You'll go on your way to the Beis Midrash. And you'll get a call from work or from your wife or I don't know what it is. And you'll have to make a decision whether you take the call or you go sit and learn for half an hour, and then you make the call. What you do will determine what happened on Shavuos. Will you have a moment of greatness? Will you have a moment of Shavuos and say, the phone can ring, I'm learning? Or will you answer the phone? Look, it's Marshall. It's many, many stories like this. You're in davening. You know what's waiting for you 5 minutes after you leave shul, and you're in a hurry because you have a meeting or because you've got to get somewhere or you belachat. No, you close your siddur, you dove until the end, you take your tefillin quietly, you maybe say tefillin, you learn a mishnah, and then you go out. How did you do that? Shavuos. Those impressions, that program of greatness that was imprinted into us on the original Shavuos, and comes back every Shavuos, that's your real. That's who you really are. But we don't live there. Whatever reason, we live in the world after the Chet HaEgel, and we're grappling with Ruach Sheni. That's where we are. We learn, we forget, but there's moments on the journey where you have sparks of greatness. The same way as when you learned the whole Torah in your mother's womb, and then you forgot it. And sometimes you'll be sitting and learning, and it will feel like you're remembering something. You have to have had this experience. You might not have noticed it. You might have had it and didn't happen and it went away, but watch now. Sometimes you're learning, it feels like you're remembering, not learning something new. Because when you're learning Torah, you're not learning anything new because you have it already inside of you. You're just taking what you have and you're actualizing it. There's a sense of like, not even not a deja vu, but there's a sense of, yeah, you'll say a pshat sometimes in a Gemara and you'll realize, wow, that's mamash, hey, that's what Rashi says. That's just the Torah coming back from the impression that was programmed in originally. Nachon. Nachon, nachon. But on Shavuos, that's what you get on Shavuos. You get back to level one. You get back to the ideal, and then it goes away. I promise you now that after Shavuos, it's gone. What the joke in the yeshiva, because that's the way the world's built. The joke in the yeshiva is the bocher goes to sleep after davening on Shavuos morning, and he wakes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. You know, that's the bocher, how they describe the yeshiva experience. You got to sleep after those Shavuos. And you wake up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's like, oh, that's true between now and there. For sure you're going to fall. Why in Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, do you fall? Because you're not living in Yom Kippur. You're living here now in this world.
But every day, Shabbat is a better time to have the connection.
But I'm not talking about the connection. We get to the connection. You're right, 100%. Oh, that's the next step I want to take.
Right.
Well, 1 second. Let me just give you the klalim. Let me get to the klalim and then we'll understand things better. To do this, you have to spend 49 days building yourself. Sfira Sayim is a process of building yourself one day at a time. 7 times 7. That's 49. That's this world, the physical world. That's the effort you make. How do you count 50? You have a command to count 50. Tonight you're going to count 49 and you're not going to count 50. But the Torah says 50. Why don't you count 50? You do count 50. By recognizing that you can't count 50. In the beginning, you do what you have to do. You do the work. In the end, it comes as a gift. That's called keter. In the Kabbalistic terminology, that's called keter. What's a crown? It's that which is above the head. The top of the head is the highest part of the human being. The crown is above that. Attaches you. It's connected to you in a very fragile way, but it comes from above. You do what you need to do down here, and Hashem gives it to you as a gift. It's matan Torah Seinu. It's a gift. It's not Zman Kabbalah's Torah Seinu. It's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Hashem's giving the gift. You have to prepare the kli to receive the gift. Everybody's done a part of that work already. You've been in the Beis Midrash learning. You've been working. You've been counting Sfiras Tzomer. I'm not saying we've done it with Shemus and with all the Mus and all the Avodah and whatever. You know, I'm not going into that. But that's the active. The passive, you get it. In the end, it's passive. Because you can't get it. You don't count 50. You can only count 49. Whether you get the 50 or not, that's a matana from Hashem. You either get the matana, you don't get it. You have to prepare the key that can hold the matana. That is Erev Shabbos. Somebody who prepares on Erev Shabbos eats on Shabbos. You don't prepare on Erev Shabbos, you don't eat on Shabbos. But Ruchnes I'm talking about, not about Cholot. Cholot's also Ruchnes. So they don't have self. If you did the work, and you show Hashem you want the gift. Okay, there's a mashrochet. That's another. We don't have enough time to go into all this. I'll tell you a story where you see this flash of greatness. You have to look for them in your own life because they little moments that create enormous greatness. When Umaron Kotler was nifter many, many years ago, it's a major blow to the Torah world. Umaron was holding up the whole of American Jewry. The Lakewood Yeshiva, 25 Bokrip from Lakewood Yeshiva, came with Rabbi Aaron for the Levaya that was in Eretz Yisrael. After the Levaya, they wanted to go back to Yeshiva. And someone said, you're in Eretz Yisrael, 25 Bokrip, never been to Eretz Yisrael before. You know, spend a day, go to Tzfat, go to Meron, they couldn't go to the Kaisel. The Kaisel wasn't in our hands then. But you're in Eretz Yisrael, when are you going to get a chance to do this again? The Rambam's Kaaba, what people do, you don't tell yourself, you do the religious touring. I said, what are you talking about? You have to go back to Yeshiva. I don't know what to do. So they went to the Mira Rosh Yeshiva, then Reb Lezer Yudelfinkel. And they asked him what to do. He said, I'll tell you a story. There was a bocher sitting in Yeshiva. And in the dining room at breakfast, he was sitting eating. And someone came up and asked him a shtala. Look, something like a nalach or whatever. And he didn't know how to answer. And he almost got a pachad. Yeshiva bocher, I didn't know how to answer. He got a pachad, he got up, and he went to the Beis Midrash, and he started learning. And he didn't stop, and he became one of the Gedol Yisrael. When Reb Chaim Brisker heard the story, he said, I want to tell you one thing. Had he stopped to beg, he wouldn't have become a God of Yisrael. I'm not discussing Hilchos Birkas Hamazon now. I'm trying to show you. He had a flash of shvuos. He got a flash of shvuos where he suddenly realized the fact that I don't know that halacha is a problem. And he went and he used that flash to become an Adam Gadol. Had he waited 1 minute to beg, that flash would have been gone. It would have been wasted. Reb Lazarus said, if you don't go straight back to yeshiva, who knows what will become of you? You came here. You were at the Levi Reb Aaron. You had a chizuk. You had a yisoyerus. You had a sense of, when you go to a cemetery, you get a sense of reality. Don't waste that by going touring. Go straight back to yeshiva and open your Gemara. Sometimes you have a little inspiration. You have a little flash. It might be in Meron. Don't waste it. That force leaving through, peeping through at you. Those are the luchos rishon that got broken, but they're still there and you have access to them because you're part of them. You're a chelek of them. I want to tell you one more thing. Rav Pinker said it. If he didn't have said it, I wouldn't say these words. But he said it almost apologetically, so he said it and I heard it from him, so I'm going to say it. The name Yehudi is made up of Dalet Yudkei Vavkei. That's what a Jew is, right? He's a Dalet Yudkei Vavkei. Dalet, I'm not going into the Sugina, I don't understand it myself, is always the symbol of feminism, of the female dimension. Dalet is always female. Okay? What happened on Shavuos is we became Mrs. Hashem. That's what he said. We became Mrs. Hashem. When a woman gets married, yeah? So she used to be called Finkelstein, she's now called Goldberg. She changes her name. Today it's not so posh. Today they even put the woman's name on the invitation before the men, which is you have to see what Rashi says about that. It's horrific. The mamish, it's a that Rashi says it's a maysa isav. When I went to America the first time, so I went to Shul to Dub and said, you know the invitations on the notice boards there. Everyone was written like that. I asked the Lord there, what's going on? You don't know the Rashi? Anyway, so whatever. Anyway, so I'm sure when women get married today, they don't change the names anymore because that's fine. But in a normal world, women get married, even in the Goethe world, they understand the woman changes her name. Why? Because she's now building a new family. She's starting a new family. There's a hierarchy in the family. There's a he and a her. There used to be a time where there was a he and a her, and that was it. You never got the traces. We either were a he or a she. Today, that's not supported. The she used to be easy to give. Today, you need a half an hour gomit to explain what a he and a she is. Aval. But that's the mitzvahs. There's a he and a she, and she changes his own name to his name. When we got the Torah, you know what happened? We became part of Hashem's family. We became dovuk to Hashem. We know that Hashem is the male dimension and we're the female dimension in our relationship to him. In relation to the goyim, we're the male and you're the female. It's always whatever that I'm not going to know. We became Mrs. Hashem. That's how Rav Pinker said it. I don't know, Kashena did it, but that's what happened. We became part of Hashem. That's your real Rabbeisa. When we talk about real ideal process, the whole year, we talk about Yom Kippur real. This is who I am. I take one small step out of real. But on Shavuos, you're real, real. You're the baby inside the mother's womb, knowing Kula Torah Kulu. It's there and you can access on it. If you've done the work properly, you get it. Where do you see it happening? You may not have flashes of lightning and sparks and whatever on Shavuos. Don't get all miserable and depressed on Sunday somewhere. You'll see it the whole year, subtle little flashes. You'll have a little moment of inspiration and you'll grab it. Sometimes you won't, sometimes you will. That's part of the real, real. That's the real. That's the Yom Kippur me. I don't always get it. But every now you'll get it, know that that's coming from Shavuos. And the more light you absorb on Shavuos, the more will come out through the year. Ad kan da hakdoma. But I don't have time for anymore. I apologize. Remember that the real you is a Shavuosdika you. That's why we celebrate Shavuos, even though that Torah got lost, but it didn't get lost. We live in Bavli. We live in Bobble. We live in Yom Kippur world. Luch Rishani. But Luch Rishani is still there. And I'll tell you one last thing. You know when you see this? When Moshe Rabbeinu went to learn in Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva. Remember we saw it the other day? Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to show him all the doyres. They showed him Rabbi Akiva. He said, wow, let me see him. What is he doing with all those little tagim on top of the oasis? So he went and sat in his yeshiva and he heard Rabbi Akiva giving a shiur. He didn't understand nothing. And then one of the Bochrim asked, Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, where did you get that from? He said, Salach al Moshe Misina. And Moshe felt better. So we said, whatever we said, but that's the vort here. Rabbi Akiva was learning Rabbi Akiva Torah. Rabbi Akiva was learning Chochma, not Nubuah. He was learning Yom Kippur Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Shmuel's Torah. But where did Rabbi Akiva get the koyach to say Rabbi Akiva Torah from? Yom Kippur Torah from? From Shmuel's. From Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. If you don't have Shmuel's, you can't have Yom Kippur either. If you don't have Luchos Rishon, you can't have Luchos Sheni. We live with Luchos Sheni. That's why Hashem wants us to be working and struggling and battling. But without Luchos Rishon, you can't get it. So what you got on Shmuel's is everything. But you still have it. It hasn't gone away. The Luchos are still in the Rakesh. You can access them. You can access them on Shmuel's and on Purim. Purim will speak about that. We spoke about that. Moshe Rabbeinu died on the day, was born on the day he died. That's the sugya. You can access those levels on Purim as well. But we don't have Purim now, unfortunately, because it's a lot more fun than staying up the whole night learning. Look at all the minhagim of Shavuos. It's all there. Yeah, it's all of that. That's what it's explaining, what it means. It's more than just a judgment. It's a reality. It's who you really are. And you can touch it, but I'm showing you one small little application of this. The application is that you go through life, you'll have critical decisions that you need to make. You need to make sure sticker decisions. A person's 18 years old and he's thinking what he wants to do with his life. He can go become a doctor or he can go to yeshiva. That moment is a sure sticker moment. What are you going to do with your life? And what he does there is going to impact on his life for generations, generations, for years and years and years. Now, it's not always that big and critical and extreme. Sometimes it might just be that I'm on the way to the Beis Midrash and I can sit in my car and play on my phone for another 10 minutes. Or I can come into the Beis Midrash and learn an extra 10 minutes. Those are Shavuos moments. There was a certain guy who used to come into the Beis Midrash, pack up his chair, take his jacket, grab a cup of coffee, then sit down and learn. I said, you want to become an Adam Godel? Walk into the Beis Midrash, don't do anything, sit down and learn for 5 minutes. Then go hap up your jacket and coat and go and get a cup of coffee and see the difference. He came to me a month later, he said, I'm a different person. My world is a different world since I started doing that. You had a moment of shita over your own life. You had a moment of choosing greatness. Where do you get that from? Shavuos.